on staff here, one of the five appointed pastors from the conference, Pastor Jason, Pastor Elena, Pastor Connie, Pastor Trevor. On a month like this, October Appreciation Month, make sure we all feel loved and appreciated. So thank you both for that, for leading us, for guiding us in prayer and song and in reading of the Word. As Jason has mentioned, church is not a spectator sport. And if you've been around at all, as I've been preaching for the last long time, you know that every once in a while I like to get you involved, right? I like to ask you a question, get you to respond. We're going to do that this morning. So think for a moment about your favorite movies. Movies, okay, got it? And I'm actually thinking movie series. Movie series. If that doesn't make sense, it means it's more than just one movie. All right? For example, 1963, I believe, The Pink Panther came out. Anybody alive for that? A couple of you, okay? 1964, A Shot in the Dark. Also in 64, The Pink Fink. Then in 65, Bully for Pink. Then Pink Punch. Then Pinto Pink in 66 and 67. Good movie series, right? And if that's your favorite movie series, I'm sorry I took it. You can say it again when I asked you guys. All right, so I'm asking for your favorite movie series. I'm going to give you 26 seconds to think of it. And if you're watching online, the number should be on your live stream screen. 26 seconds. Ready? Go. Oh, I can't say it yet. It hasn't been 26 seconds. Come on now. I'm going to go section by section too. And I'm going to guess what Debbie's going to say. Just a guess. Fantastic. We got some coming in from online. Okay, I think that was about 26 seconds. So section by section, your favorite movie series. I'll start over here. Debbie, you have one? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Great series. Okay, somebody else over here. Mission Impossible. Good series. Star Wars. Okay. Anything else? Back to the Future. That was a good one. Okay, good. I'm going to make sure that you guys don't take all of them. Over here in the middle, favorite movie series, even if it's already been said. Lord of the Rings. Woo! I'm going to come back to that one. Born Identity. Did you say that's a good one? James Bond. You know, it's funny. Anytime I'm like giving orders on the phone and they're like, well, what's your name? James. And they're like, Dave? James. Dave? No, James, like James Bond. And then they get it. Okay, James Bond. Anything else? Rawhide. Thank you for that. Okay, over here, favorite movie series. Scream. Oh. Happy October to you. Hey, no judgment. Come on now. Star Trek. Anything else? He says it with the Godfather. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Let me, our friends online, let me make sure I'm not missing you guys. We have got Karate Kid. We've got the Star Trek series, got Mission Impossible, Star Wars, and Karate Kid again. Awesome. All right, now we're going to go next level here, next step. Just one person in each section gets to share their favorite movie quote. Not the entire movie. Please don't tell me the movie. We don't have all that much time. But the favorite quote from a movie. Are you that good? We're going to start over here.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I like that, okay? Anything in here? Favorite movie quote? Shaken but not stirred. That's a good James Bond, yeah. Yeah, and that means Kool-Aid. Yeah. Anybody over here? Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely, like at least two of you. May the force be with you. All right. Now, I only heard one person who said the thing that I was going to say, so I'm going to say it again. The Lord of the Rings. I think, this is me, you can debate, but I think The Lord of the Rings is the best movie trilogy ever made. All right. Again, you can disagree, just don't send me any cranky emails. All right. Now, I also think The Lord of the Rings is the most overquoted movie amongst Christian circles. Yeah. I mean, it's Christian authors, it's Christian like conferences, it's pastors, right? They overquote the movie all the time. So I'm going to make a quote from Lord of the Rings this morning. But I'll be honest with you, I haven't read the books. wait now, don't boo quite yet. I was reminded by my wife that 23 years ago, I listened to the books on CD. So that counts. All right, and knowing that this morning was coming, I started listening to the series again on Audible, because CDs apparently don't exist anymore, and I'm 18 hours into about 97 hours of listening. So, I did try and read the book once, but it's like that thick. I got about this far in, and then my kid was born, and I said, I'm going to come back to it, and my kid turned 20 last month. I haven't come back to it. All right? I know all I have to do is take that next step, pick up the book, and I'll get farther than I did before. But favorite scene in that movie, and I'm gonna quote it now, because we all overquote it, is when Sam and Frodo were just leaving the Shire, and they're walking along through the field. You might know what scene I'm talking about. And they're talking, and all of a sudden, Frodo realizes that Sam has stopped. And he turns around and asks him why, and Sam says, if I take one more step, it'll be the farthest I've ever been away from home. If I take one more step, it'll be the farthest I've ever been away from home. You know, we're in a sermon series that we're calling Acts Out. It is part of a two-part book series by Luke, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, where we're looking at how the church expands, how it grows. And we're challenging ourselves that maybe it's time for Acts Out to happen again, for the church to expand again. And maybe throughout the last couple of months as we've been doing this, you felt a little bit like Sam. Like you're standing on the edge of your Christian journey, and you know that if you really need to Acts Out, that perhaps you're going to have to go farther than you've ever gone before. You're going to have to share more than you've ever shared before. You're going to have to interact more than you've ever interacted before. And maybe that makes you just slightly uncomfortable. Or maybe it's just me that feels that way. All right? Allow me to pray, and then we're going to dive into the story that has already been told this morning. Lord God, thank you that you are writing a story that continues with us. I ask that you'd help us hear the part we need to play, as well as be reminded of the part you already told. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you heard the story read earlier by Jason and Elena, and I doubt anybody's going to argue that this is like the epitome of axing out. It's the epitome of when the church actually grows and expands. And if you weren't listening, or if you want it quickly recapped, let me do that in movie form, okay? Scene one, we're in Caesarea. There's a guy by the name of Cornelius. He is an army officer for the army that's occupying the Jewish lands. But here's the twist. He's a good guy. He's a God-fearing guy, and one day he was praying, and God gave him a vision, told him to go get Peter. That's scene one. Scene two, we're in Joppa. Peter is on a roof sunning himself in the Middle Eastern sun. Okay, so he's praying right before lunch, and he too has this vision, real wacky, crazy vision with sheep and animals and all this stuff, and Peter has this interaction with God about, I'm not going to eat it, but God says, no, you're going to, and it goes back and forth. There's some quotable lines in that. All right, like chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 15. Then a voice told Peter, get up, kill, and eat them. And Peter declared, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, saying, do not call something unclean that God has made clean. Right, quotable lines. That's scene two. Scene three, we see Cornelius' men arrive in Joppa. Peter invites them in for a grown-up slumber party. The next day, they all... It's in there. He invited them in to stay the night. Oh, come on. This is scene three still. Don't get me off track, Pat. The next day, they all travel back. Takes a couple days. They go to Cornelius' house. He finds out why Peter derailed. Peter finds out why he was sent for. We shift to scene four, right? Peter shares about Jesus. Everybody in the household believes the Holy Spirit falls on them. There's baptisms that take place, and there's some more quotable lines in there. Verse 34, Peter says, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism, and in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. Man, we ought to memorize that. Or verse 43, he says, Jesus is the one whom all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through Jesus' name. Send us scene four. Scene five, we see Peter return home to Joppa and then get summoned to Jerusalem because rumor had it in Jerusalem they heard what happened up in Caesarea, and Peter needed to give an account to the Jerusalem church and specifically the Jewish Christian Holiness Club. He needed to tell them why he did what he did. And again, a fantastic quotable line from that. Peter says, since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? Great movie. I mean, biblical quote. Biblical story, right? Quotable lines. But what are we to do with it? I mean, what are we supposed to do with this? Are we supposed to just memorize a few of those quotes? Like the clean versus unclean, or don't let me stand in God's way. And don't hear me wrong, memorizing scripture is something we should do. God tells us that we should keep scripture on our mind, our heart, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. But what if today I wanted to push a little bit beyond information into life transformation? Because I think this story tells us how to do that. And you guys know that I hardly ever say, let me give you 3 steps. But this morning, I want to give you 3 steps from this text as to how acts out may happen. And it's all found in one specific verse that is not a normally quoted verse. Cornelius had had his vision, sent men to Peter. Peter had had his vision. He's sitting on the top of the roof, maybe a little heat stroke, a little hangry. And it says in chapter 10, verse 19, meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. And now this is the next verse that I think is the most important verse in this entire story for us today. You can read it with me from the screen, okay? Get up, go downstairs. Go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. The most important verse for us today. Get up, go down, and go with. That's step 1, step 2, and step 3. Humor me for 11 minutes, maybe, and let me unpack those just a little bit. First, get up. Legitimate question, what was Peter doing on the roof? Praying, which is good. And from the beginning of this sermon series, from week 1 of this sermon series, I've been telling you, prayer is vital. It's important. Acts out won't happen unless God does something completely different from us, unless we are praying, right? We're on the same page on that. Prayer is important. It's vital. It's necessary. If you didn't know, I'm an introvert and a contemplative introvert who likes to pray by myself, away from everybody else. But by myself, away from everybody else, will only get me so far. It will only get us so far. There's going to come a point where God says, it's time to get up. You've been praying. It's time to get up from the pews. It's time to get up from the Bible study of Romans, which you've done 37 times. It's time to get up. God needs us to get up. And some of this spiritual insight, wisdom, discernment, doctrine that's been putting in, he's saying it's time to let it go out. I wonder if the church, Big C Church, maybe even our church, has become spiritually constipated. I said that. Spiritually constipated. Way too much going in and nothing coming out. Are you tracking with me? I didn't make that phrase up. There's an author who wrote a book titled Spiritual Constipation, Stephen Ladd. I read it a couple months back. I wouldn't recommend it. All right? Everything going in, nothing going out. Peter was on the roof praying. Peter was one of Jesus' best friends. Peter knew what he was doing, but even God himself said, Peter, it's time to get up. And I wonder if today, not just the first church, but the church in general, God is saying, church, you have prayed. You have spent time with me. Thank you. Now get up. That's step 1. Secondly, Acts chapter 10, verse 20. Get up, go downstairs. Go down. Here is our Samwise Gamgee moments, where we're at the edge of the field farther than we've ever gone, and I got to wonder if God said, okay, you got to trust me, take that next step. You got to go down into the world, into the real world. Sure, Peter was supposed to go down off the roof, down the stairs into the house of his friend, right? But then after that, all the people around him who knew him said, boy, your faith is going, like, down. It's really going down. In fact, the Jerusalem church called him basically a backslider. Chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. When Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. "You have entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Whew. Do me a favor. We're going to pretend to be the Jewish Christian Holiness Club in Jerusalem, okay? We're just going to pretend. And I'm going to list off all these things that Peter did, and you guys just got to go like this. You don't even have to say anything, okay? Or either like this or like this. Got it? Play along, please. This is not a spectator sport. Thank you for saying that, Jason. The first thing Peter did was he spoke to Gentiles. Boo. I mean, even outside the fence. Ah. And then Peter invited them inside. For a slumber party. And while they're there, you've got to assume that he fed them dinner. Because that's, even though they're Gentiles, that's being nice, all right? Huh. Come on, Peter, you can't eat with them. Table fellowship, that claims that you accept them. The next day, Peter got up and he took a walk with them, like a long walk. Joppa to Caesarea was 31 miles. That's a 50K. Thank you. Boo. Come on, Peter, you can't do that. And then when he gets to Caesarea, he enters Cornelius' house. Oh, even worse. He enters the house of an army officer for the oppressing army of the Jews. You can see why they're thinking he was a backslider. And then Peter talks to them, not just talks to them, touches them. How else would he have baptized them? And then he goes to bat for them at the Jewish church in Jerusalem. He says, no, these guys got it figured out, right? Talk about going downhill. If God is calling us to acts out, I wonder if he's calling us to go down to places outside of our comfortable church services, outside of our comfortable live stream, outside of the safety of our full of other Christian Bible studies, and outside of our Christian bubble. He's calling us to interact with. He's calling us to be friends with. He's calling us to love, not just love so that we get him into church on a Sunday morning, but love because they're humans. I've got to believe God is calling us to do this, and this isn't something new. Last thing Jesus said before he went up into heaven, go into all the nations. That means going down. So what does this look like for us? I mean, maybe you're thinking, well, I could get behind that, maybe, kind of. Let me make you uncomfortable. Maybe it means going downtown to serve the homeless a meal. Maybe it could mean going down to your neighbor's house who has the late night parties, and instead of saying, I just called the cops, say, hey, can I get invited next time? Because I want to get to know you. Maybe it means going down to World Relief or Thrive and teaching a Muslim how to drive a car in the States. If you want to, I got a pastor friend who's doing that. I'll get you connected. All right? Maybe it means going down to the parade that you're doing all you can not to go to. And that's going to be different parades for different people. I'm not just pigeonholing one group. But maybe it means going down to the parade you're doing all you can not to go to and handing out cool water. Because your common humanity tells you that they will be thirsty as they walk by. Maybe it means going down the block to the house where there's the palm reader's sign out in front of the door and saying, can I mow your yard? Because I know you're 72 and you shouldn't be mowing it by yourself right now. Friends, I'm not asking you to sin. I'm asking us to go outside our comfort zone, to go down to where maybe we wouldn't normally like it, to go outside our holy huddle, to get dirty in the trenches in Jesus' name, because you know why? Jesus loves them just as much as he loves us. Jesus loves them just as much as he loves us. We must go down. Answer me this question, not a trick question. Every time Jesus went up to the hills, because he did this, Mark chapter 1, verse 34, every time he went up to the hills to have a little quiet time with his Father, how did it end? You can say amen, right? Maybe. He might have said amen, or he might have said, I'll talk to you in a little bit. But every single time he went up the mountain, it ended with him going back down the mountain to be with the people who needed him. Every single time. Hands down. We must go down. Back to our story. For acts out to happen, I've got to believe God is calling us to get up, to go down, and to go with. To get up, to go down, and to go with. Worship is not like a solo activity. A church is not a spectator sport. God does not call one person and say, I'm going to lay my hand on you, and you are going to be the one to expand the church out and forever and ever. Amen. God calls us. I've been saying this since week one as well. And if you look at the story, there's an entourage mentality in here. When Cornelius had his vision and it said, send for Peter, yes or no answer. Did Cornelius go get his son, who was a cross-country state champion, and say, hey, you can run a 4.5-minute mile, run to Joppa real quick and get Peter? Is that what he said? No. Chapter 10, verse 7, it says, as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told him what happened, and he sent them. Okay, keep that in mind. If you count on your fingers, we're going to start adding things up. Entourage mentality. Peter then hears the story, and he takes some of his friends to go back with them. How do we know? Because Jason and Elena told us the story earlier. And in chapter 11, verse 12, it said, the Holy Spirit told me, go with them and not to worry that these were Gentiles. So these six brothers here accompanied me. So you got the three musketeers from Cornelius. You got the six fellow, what do they call them? Brothers who accompanied Peter. So how many total is that in the entourage? 10. Right. And to take a nice long walk would have taken some time. So you got to go with, but you also got to know when you go with, it has the potential to take a long time. How many miles did I tell you it was from Joppa to Caesarea? 31. That's a 50K. All right. For us in our cars, that takes us 30 minutes. If you're a distance runner and you can run in a, you know, an average pace at 9 minutes a mile, it's going to take you 4.5 hours. If you are James, Tim, and Aaron, it's going to take you 8 hours and 46 minutes. And you're going to come in dead last in your age groups, respectively. It's going to take you a long time. Listen, in our story, these guys walked and walked and walked, and they didn't have aid stations with water. They didn't have hydration Camelback packs. None of them were wearing, to my knowledge, spandex running shorts. Best case, they had their, you know, their Air Jerusalems, right? And that's best case. And they walked, and I'm going to trip because I can't get my sandal back on. They walked, and they walked, and they walked. It took them 2 full days to get back. They did this with each other. Get up, go down, go with. Now, let's not forget that as we go with, we're always going with the Holy Spirit. I've been saying that since week one as well. We're always going with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who told Peter to get up, go down, and go with. It was the Holy Spirit who Jesus said, who Peter said was Jesus' focus on his ministry. It was all over his story when Peter told a story. It was the Holy Spirit who fell on the Gentiles while they listened to Peter. When we get up, the Holy Spirit is with us. When we go down, the Holy Spirit is with us. When we go with, the Holy Spirit is with us. Without the Holy Spirit, there will be no axing out. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, there will be no axing out. So here's my question for you. Since I told you I'd talk for 11 minutes, I'm at the 10-minute mark. All right? What's your next step? What's your next step? Perhaps you're sitting here thinking today, I'm really good at praying. I'm really good at being inside my bubble, and I'm not knocking any of the stuff we do to grow as Christians. But perhaps God is calling me to get up right now. Or perhaps God is calling you to go down. And you know it's going to make you uncomfortable. You don't really want to do that, but perhaps God is the one saying it's time to go to places where you haven't been before. Or perhaps you're looking around and realizing I've been trying to go alone and I need to go with some people. Or maybe you've got people to go with and you just haven't stepped out the door yet. If you'd allow me to overquote the Lord of the Rings one more time, I want to finish this Samwise and Frodo conversation. They're at the edge of the field. Sam said, if I take one more step, it'll be farther away than I've ever been away from home. And Frodo looks at Sam and says, my relative Bilbo once said this. It's a dangerous business going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. I'm gonna commit movie quote blasphemy, and I'm going to change that just enough to fit us. It is a dangerous business trying to axe out. It's a dangerous business attempting to axe out. You step on a road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no telling where the Spirit of God will sweep you off to. So what's your next step? Get up, go down, go with? Let me tell you something. No matter how hard you try to do your next step, you're going to fail. Happy end of the sermon. You're not going to be able to do it on your own, but I know a guy. I know a guy who has already lived this out. His name's Jesus. He was already very comfortable with the Trinity up in heaven. But the Father said, "Are you ready?" So he got up. He came down to the creation that he created. Form of a child, a baby, right? The most helpless thing you could possibly be. And as he grew and as he did his ministry, what did he do? He went with. He went with the people around him. And you know what? He was pretty successful. Well, it depends on how you measure success, right? But because he got up, God went down and went with, the church exploded. So you may not be able to do it on your own, but you know what? He did tell his disciples that wherever you go, I'm going to be with you always. And that applies to us as well. So, what's your next step? Get up, go down, or go with. With Jesus as our partner, no telling where we'll be swept off to. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you don't ask us to do something that you didn't already do. You left heaven. You raised your hand when the three of you were sitting around saying, "Who wants to go?" And you're like, "I'll go." So you got up. You came down. You went with those that were alive in that time and in that place. And you continue to go with us today. Lord, we want to see your church acts out. We want not so that we can say our church is bigger, not so that the global church can say, "Hey, we're finally growing instead of shrinking." We want to do this because there are people who need you, who need your grace, who need your love, who need your forgiveness, who need your comfort, who need your peace, who need your salvation. We need to act out so that your story will be told. So, Lord, as we walk with others, while we're walking with Christ, help us to know what our next step is. Is it to get up? Is it to go down? Is it to go with? Lord, we'll trust you as you nudge us for that next step. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's church said, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and stand with us.